invite Brother Nichols up to develop the theme for us, God's Congregation, a Pillar and Support of the Truth.
Have you ever heard of someone being referred to as a pillar in the community? Usually, what's meant by that comment? Well, it's a compliment. And from a worldly point of view, with worldly criteria to meet, people feel that that person upholds what the community stands for. That he or she supports the community in one way or another. People notice that. People appreciate such support. Well, with that in mind, tonight we're going to discuss a far more important pillar in our community, something far more important than any one man or woman. Now, as with Tuesday night's talk, the theme for tonight, you may have noticed, contains a scripture that we'll develop throughout the talk. So tonight's theme is based on 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you'd like to get out your Bibles. First Timothy 3, 14 and 15. So this is Paul writing to Timothy. Verse 14. I am writing you these things, though I'm hoping to come to you shortly. But in case I am delayed, so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in God's household, which is the congregation of the living God, a pillar and support of the truth. So looking at the end of verse 15, when it talks about the truth, that refers to the entire body of Christian teachings that have become part of God's written word. So keep in mind, the truth then would include the good news of God's kingdom. So looking at the description there in verse 15, like a structural pillar, the Christian congregation upholds the truth. The truth can stand out in a world awash in false teachings. A world that promotes immoral conduct at every turn. When I was preparing this talk, I found an interesting quote from Pope Francis. Now, Pope Francis was quoted recently as saying, "Inconsistency on the part of pastors and the faithful between what they say and what they do, between word and manner of life, is undermining the church's credibility." Isn't that true? Now, that's because they don't know this. They don't use this. This contains the truth. And the Christian congregation upholds it like an impressive pillar. A Christendom and its clergy, no way. They don't even try. Little wonder, then, that within the world of false religion, moral and doctrinal issues remain as divisive as ever. Going back to Paul's use of the word pillar to Timothy. Back in Paul's day, massive pillars supported aqueducts that brought water from far away into the cities. Similarly today, with the support of the Christian congregation, waters of truth are being brought to people throughout the earth. We recognize that the primary work of the Christian congregation is to preach the kingdom message worldwide. So recognizing the kingdom message as a major part of the truth, the Christian congregation today makes advancing kingdom interests its priority. And the Christian congregation supports the truth in two main ways. The first way, the Christian congregation stands as a bulwark against false teachings. Bulwark was in the outline. I didn't know what it was. So I looked it up. A bulwark, you may know this already, it's a defensive or protective wall. So the Christian congregation stands as a protective wall against false teachings. The second way it supports the truth, it advances kingdom interests by spreading the good news. So with those two thoughts in mind, let's answer these questions tonight. What adjustments has the congregation made to advance kingdom interests? And our second question, a little bit more personal. What can I do individually to support the truth? So let's start with that first question. What adjustments has the congregation made to advance kingdom interests? If we were to go back to the first century, back then the Christian congregation made whatever adjustments were needed in order to advance kingdom interests. To illustrate that point, let's turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, we'll start with verse 1. Now in those days when the disciples were increasing, the Greek-speaking Jews began complaining against the Hebrew-speaking Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. So here the arrangements for distributing food among widows were not meeting the needs of everyone involved. Now, this wasn't the primary purpose of the Christian congregation to get physical food out. The spiritual food was more important, but this could be a problem. This could get in the way. So what were the apostles going to do? They were going to adjust. Let's read verses 2 and 3. So the 12 called the multitude of the disciples together and said, "It is not right for us to leave the word of God to distribute food to tables. So, brothers, select for yourselves 7 reputable men from among you, full of spirit and wisdom, that we may appoint them over this necessary matter." So they fixed it. They made some adjustments. Now, with these adjustments and others, what were the results? Well, in part, let's look at verse 7. Consequently, the word of God continued to spread, and the number of the disciples kept multiplying very much in Jerusalem, and a large crowd of priests began to be obedient to the faith. So they made adjustments so that they could focus on advancing kingdom interests. Jehovah blessed those adjustments, and beautiful things happened. Today, too, making adjustments advances kingdom interests. This talk over the next few minutes will highlight 10 organizational refinements that advance kingdom interests, which in turn support the truth. So let me give you our first organizational refinement. You'll remember this from 2008, the study edition of the Watchtower. Now, thanks to the study edition of the Watchtower, the faithful slave can serve spiritual food, especially for Jehovah's Witnesses and progressive Bible students. Haven't you found since 2008 with the study edition, we really dig in to the deep things of God, and we don't have to worry too much about explaining phrases to those who have limited Bible knowledge. Now, with the help of that study edition, we can more readily understand, apply, and preach the truth. Our second refinement, the inception of the public edition of the Watchtower and a monthly edition of Awake. So it wasn't that long ago that we had 4 magazines to read every month. So 2 sets of magazines to prepare for, to offer in the ministry. so a set every 2 weeks. But with just one watchtower and one awake, now publishers can use an effective presentation for an entire month. Has that benefited your ministry? I think it also helps ones in the territory too, because we're not just placing magazines, we're focusing on placing magazines but starting studies as well. Our third refinement: reducing Awake and the public edition of the Watchtower to 16 pages. So there's many advantages to that, including it makes it possible to translate our magazines into more languages, so we can reach many more with the good news. To make that point, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because one of these days I am going to be wrong with this stat because it changes so often, so please correct me. But at last check, The Awake is published in 99 languages and The Watchtower in 213 languages. That's fantastic. What a witness. Our fourth refinement: the combining of the midweek meetings to make room for family worship evening or an evening for personal study. Family worship evening has afforded us the time to dig deeper into God's Word, draw closer together as couples and families, and certainly to draw closer to our Heavenly Father, Jehovah. What a gift. Our fifth refinement from recent times: the arrangement for pioneers to attend Pioneer Service School more than once. So pioneers can come back now every 5 years. And that enables them to further sharpen their skills so that they can handle the word of truth aright. For the past 2 years, I found it very exciting. Past 2 years in this circuit with Pioneer Service School, we've had a number of pioneers attending for the third time, including ones here in the Rideau congregation. And a comment we'll often receive from those third timers is that they enjoyed the school as much as, or even more than, the first two times they attended. So how thankful we can be to Jehovah for that refinement. Our sixth refinement: the inception of Bible School for Christian couples, refinements in the Bible School for single brothers, and the shift in focus of Gilead School have brought good results. With the assistance of such schools, special pioneers are now advancing the good news in isolated areas all around the world, including here in Canada. Missionaries are now serving in densely populated regions. So maybe you've just recently watched or read about the graduation of the 136 class of Gilead. And because of these schools, field and branch organization are being strengthened and stabilized in many different ways. And what about our new school for kingdom evangelizers? Many of us are wondering about that. We excitedly look forward to the continued advancement of kingdom interests that the new School for Kingdom Evangelizers will promote. Now, just as a reminder, this school will provide specialized training to a limited number of very well-qualified pioneers, ones that the organization can use to fill vital needs in the field throughout the branch territory. Those selected for our upcoming School for Kingdom Evangelizers will include married couples, single brothers, and now single sisters. So what a beautiful provision. The seventh refinement: the greater use of audio and video media is enabling those with reading limitations, including the very young, to have the truth presented to them in a way that can make a lasting impression. to illustrate the power of that video and audio media. When I bring up Caleb, do we know who Caleb is? We love Caleb. We love his family. Little ones are learning Bible principles thanks to those videos. Adults were thoroughly enjoying them as well, using them in the ministry. It's powerful. Closely related to that, our eighth refinement, JW.org. So we know that our redesigned website, with the help of that, the good news is penetrating parts of the earth where people have had very few opportunities to hear the kingdom message. Our website has information in more languages than any other website. You may have read an article about this recently on JW.org. Some interesting stats in that article. Now, these change too, but as of last summer, the United Nations website, so the organization that's going to bring the world together in peace and harmony, supports 6 languages. Google, 71 languages, not bad. Wikipedia, 287. JW.org, well over 300 languages. Our ninth refinement. Special metropolitan public witnessing is bringing fine results. So we talked about that a little bit on Tuesday night. What's happening here in Ottawa due to that program, and exciting things are happening all around the world. Our tenth refinement. The new research guide for Jehovah's Witnesses is another provision to help us uphold the truth. Now, sometimes when I bring up this one, research guide for Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm getting a few quizzical looks because it is very new. The research guide for Jehovah's Witnesses, if you have the Watchtower Library on CD-ROM, the newest one, you'll find the research guide on there. You can also get the research guide from JW.org. So the research guide is designed to assist us in our search for Bible questions and in finding help for personal concerns of life. So keep in mind, this is not a comprehensive index of every subject that's been discussed in our publications. Instead, you'll find for each topic listed, it contains references to the most current information that we have published. So the research guide should help us all to improve the quality of our personal study, family worship, evangelizing, teaching, and shepherding. So there's our 10 refinements. But I've found that since I've been giving this talk, every week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're reminded, well, there's many more than just 10, right? We've had so many organizational refinements of late. Many, many adjustments have been made to advance kingdom interests. This is an exciting time to be a part of God's congregation. So with those 10 refinements alone, we understand the Christian congregation upholds the truth. The Ottawa Rideau congregation upholds the truth. But let's get to our second question. How can you and how can I individually support the truth? Individually, we support the truth in 3 main ways. One, by wholeheartedly cooperating with organizational adjustments. 2, by maintaining fine conduct. And 3, by zealously preaching the good news of God's kingdom. So let's take a few minutes with those 3 areas. We'll look at it in greater detail, and it'll give us an opportunity to reflect on how we're doing when it comes to supporting the truth. So that first way, wholeheartedly cooperating with organizational adjustments. When we do that, we continue to be made firm ourselves spiritually as we support the truth. Going back to the Bible, Philippians chapter 3, verse 16 highlights the spirit needed in order to wholeheartedly embrace organizational arrangements. Once again, that's Philippians chapter 3, verse 16. At any rate, to the extent we have made progress, let us go on walking orderly in this same course. So as this verse indicates, all of us should endeavor to make progress. So the word progress means moving forward, making advancement. People who are progressive are interested in new ideas, new findings, new opportunities. So Paul wanted the Philippians here to understand that Christianity is never stagnant, and those who profess it must keep moving forward. And a progressive spirit would be demonstrated by a willingness to examine ourselves, to maybe pat ourselves on the back a little bit where we're doing well, but also to acknowledge our weaknesses, reach out for opportunities to do more, or maybe just improve the quality of what we're already doing. Without a doubt, today Jehovah's congregation, it's moving forward rapidly, progressively. It's ever expanding its scope of activity and its understanding of God's word. Each of us must keep pace with it, taking advantage of all of its provisions and sharing fully in its work. Do you have such a progressive spirit? I think in many ways that you do. Giving thought to organizational arrangements, taking a little time talking with your elders. They mentioned last night a couple of the things that you've done to support organizational adjustments. So, for example, they mentioned that recently for all the brothers who are involved in the sound department here in the congregation, you had a meeting together, implementing some new ways of doing things within the congregation. And they mentioned the brothers were really receptive to that meeting and that training. Excellent. It was also mentioned that for the memorial season, you had a 1 o'clock afternoon arrangement on Saturdays. And it was nice to see those who supported that arrangement. And recently, just right now, actually, you have a trial going on for public witnessing, perhaps using those carts in different areas throughout your congregation's territory. And that's created a bit of a buzz. And many brothers and sisters are excited to perhaps be a part of that program. So well done. That's a progressive spirit. The second way that we can personally support the truth. Members of the congregation have a personal responsibility to display conduct that conforms to the truth. This is highlighted at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Second Corinthians 4 and 2. But we have renounced the shameful, underhanded things, not walking with cunning or adulterating the word of God, but by making the truth manifest, we recommend ourselves to every human conscience in the sight of God. So we make the truth manifest not just by what we teach, but how we live. And Jehovah God tells us clearly in his word how we ought to conduct ourselves. In line with this verse and many others, we're not to walk as the nations walk. So, for example, while we enjoy balanced recreation and social gatherings, we like to get together, we like to have fun, we don't imitate the wild parties of Satan's world. Sadly, though, some have let their guard down at wedding receptions, graduation parties, and events featuring music and dancing common at nightclubs or bars. Such conduct would make it very difficult for us individually to uphold the truth. In addition, brothers and sisters, do we share Jehovah's view? Do we support the truth when it comes to our personal relationships? So relationships like dating, marriage, separation, and divorce. Does our conduct in these areas harmonize with Jehovah's thinking? So sadly, too many in this circuit are making poor choices in these areas. So the world's light and casual view of these things is having an effect. And there can be a bit of a loophole mentality with these things. I know what the Bible says about this. I know what the faithful slave encourages, but it doesn't apply in my case because ... To help on these subjects of dating, marriage, separation, and divorce, the new research guide for Jehovah's Witnesses can be very helpful. In fact, under the heading Family Life, there's a lot of up-to-date references on those four types of personal relationships. So friends, if you're younger or older, either way, if you're currently dealing with the challenges that come with such personal relationships, do the research. Take the time to study God's Word. Remind yourself of Jehovah's thinking on these subjects. Keep in mind the words of 1 John 1 and 6. And this isn't just for personal relationships. This is for all of us and our conduct each and every day. First John 1 and 6. If we make the statement we are having fellowship with him, and yet we go on walking in the darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. So when it comes to our personal relationships, when it comes to our conduct, if we imitate the conduct of those walking in the darkness, we're not practicing the truth. Instead of supporting the truth, then, we could become causes for stumbling in the congregation of God. On the other hand, though, when we maintain fine conduct, we glorify Jehovah God. And we make the truth manifest. What a privilege that is. The third way we support the truth is by preaching the good news of the kingdom. Now, with this, we're never off the clock, so to speak. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 brings this to our attention. First Peter 3 and 15. But sanctify the Christ as Lord in your hearts, always ready to make a defense before everyone who demands of you a reason for the hope you have, but doing so with a mild temper and deep respect. So we uphold the truth by being skilled in our use of God's word. And looking at this verse, we're always ready to defend the truth. Formally, informally, publicly, from house to house. This past February, in conjunction with our circuit assemblies, we have a day that's for all the pioneers in the circuit. And we encourage the pioneers this past February to strive for a balanced, varied ministry. And we gave the pioneers some references to look over to help them do that. Well, we recognize it's not just the pioneers who need to seize every opportunity to witness. We all do. So could I give you, brothers and sisters, the same references we gave the pioneers? Maybe it's something you could look over in your own personal study or during family worship. So here's a reference for telephone witnessing. KM 1/10, pages 4-6. Informal witnessing. KM 8/10, pages 3-5. Business witnessing. KM 3/12, page 2. Evening witnessing. KM 10/12, page 1. And finally, public witnessing. KM 7/13, pages 4-6. The reason we put these references before you is that by seizing every opportunity to witness, it shows that advancing kingdom interests is our priority. So, brothers and sisters, in these three ways, let's show that we individually support the truth. Friends, as the congregation adjusts, we adjust so that the word of Jehovah may keep spreading rapidly. So are there any adjustments that the Rideau congregation can make in the coming months that we can wholeheartedly support? With Pioneer Service School, at least the Pioneer Service School curriculum we had up until this point, there was a lesson entitled Progressing as a Spiritual Person. And that's the goal we're going to put before you this visit. Continue making progress as spiritual people. We could illustrate the need for that this way. Now you can answer this, or you don't have to, you can remain anonymous. Is there anybody here at any time in your life, have you ever tried to walk up an escalator that's going down? Me too. I see some look down, others right away put their hand up. So if you've ever tried that, not that I'm saying you should, but if you've tried it, can you do it? Can you walk up, make it all the way to the top? You can, but you have to keep at it, right? Because if you stop, even for a second, what's going to happen? You start heading backwards. And if you wait too long, you're right down back at the beginning again. Isn't that the same with the truth? Can we stand still in the truth? We can't. We're either moving forward or we're headed backwards. So to make progress as a spiritual person, just like walking up an escalator that's going down, we have to keep one foot in front of the other. We have to put forth the continuous effort. So what's needed for one to make progress as a spiritual person? How do we put that one foot in front of the other? Simply put, goals. Spiritual goals. Short-term goals and long-term goals. So brothers and sisters, what are your spiritual goals? So over our past 3 years together, we've talked a lot about goals on Friday night in meetings like this. Goals particular to the Ottawa Rideau congregation. Now, we talked about these goals last night with the congregation elders, and they mentioned that there's been some progress made, but also we could continue to make progress in a lot of these areas. So with your congregation in recent times, here's some of the short-term goals we talked about. I guess the first main goal would be establishing a strong spiritual routine within our families. So what would that include? Reading the Bible every day? Family worship every week? A weekly share in the ministry? So are we out every week with our congregation in the ministry? We talked about preparing for and participating in the meetings. Making Sunday service part of our weekly routine or monthly routine. Those are some of the short-term goals that we talked about with this congregation. some of the long-term goals we discussed with the Rideau congregation. We talked to our brothers about reaching out, taking on more responsibility here in the congregation and in Jehovah's organization. We discussed with our young ones, make the truth your own. You're going to get a lot of offers on what you should do with your life from many different directions. Use your youth, use your strength to serve Jehovah to the best of your ability. And we've also talked to our sisters here in the congregation about making adjustments to have more of a share in the ministry. So those are some examples of short-term goals, long-term goals. Whatever your goals are, make sure that they're SMART goals. And I'm using SMART as an acronym, and I'll break it down for you. So the S would stand for specific. So it's not just a matter of, I'd like to do better in the truth. Specifically, how will I do that? The M would stand for measurable. The A, attainable. The R, realistic. So attainable and realistic, that's very important. Because if we're setting spiritual goals that we just cannot reach, that's an exercise in frustration. So we have to set goals that it's reasonable. We can reach these goals with Jehovah's help. And then the T, timely. So short term, long term, here are my goals. Brothers and sisters, as a congregation, you're doing very well. Your congregation elders had great things to say about you last night. And if we individually continue to set short-term, long-term spiritual goals, then individually we'll continue to make progress as spiritual people. That benefits us. That benefits the congregation. That benefits your territory as well as we uphold the truth. To conclude, let's take a look at a scripture we discussed together Tuesday night. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. First Timothy 2 and 4. Speaking of Jehovah, it says, whose will is that all sorts of people should be saved and come to an accurate knowledge of truth. So our God Jehovah wants people of all sorts to know the truth accurately. And he's pleased to use the congregation to uphold the truth. So as we've looked at this evening, we support the truth by cooperating with adjustments, maintaining good conduct, and making known the truth at every opportunity. The Christian congregation continues to stand as that protective wall against false teaching. The Christian congregation continues to advance kingdom interests. So much is happening right now in Jehovah's organization. It is an exciting time to be a part of God's congregation. That having been said, may each one of us be determined to keep working in harmony with God's congregation, the congregation that continues to be a pillar and support of the truth. So we've got many opportunities to do that together this weekend. Maybe I could just take a moment and go over our arrangements for Saturday and Sunday. Tomorrow we'll have a 9 o'clock arrangement here at the Kingdom Hall. So come on out. Join us in the ministry. We'll have a wonderful time together. Sunday at 12 noon, I didn't mark it down, but Sunday at 12 noon at Brother and Sister Abraham's place, we'll have a field service arrangement. At 3:30, our public talk is entitled Rescue from World Distress. As I mentioned Tuesday night, the world distress we'll be talking about, just in case you're inviting anybody this weekend, the world distress is the Great Tribulation and how we can survive that. We'll have a shortened Watchtower study after that. And then our final talk for the week, imitate Jesus' example of watchfulness. So much to keep us busy in a good way this weekend. So let's conclude our meetings now by way of song and prayer. The song that's been chosen is Song 102. It's entitled Join in the Kingdom Song. So stand if you're able. We'll sing Song 102. I didn't get somebody for prayer. My apologies. Brother Stone, could you offer the prayer for us?
Thank you.